The reading this morning is taken from Mark 8. And if you have these Bibles, it's on page 1203, starting at the first verse. One day, another large crowd gathered around Jesus. They had not brought along anything to eat, so Jesus called his disciples together and said, I feel sorry for these people. They have been with me for 3 days and they don't have anything to eat. Some of them live a long way away. I'll send them away hungry. They might faint. Oh, so if I send them away hungry, they might faint on their way home. The disciples then said, this place is like a desert. Where can we find enough food to feed such a crowd? Jesus asked them how much food they had. They replied, 7 small loaves of bread. After Jesus told the crowd to sit down, he took the 7 loaves and blessed them. He then broke the loaves and handed them to his disciples, who passed them out to the crowd. They also had a few little fish. And after Jesus had blessed these, he told the disciples to pass them around. The crowd of about 4,000 people ate all they wanted, and the leftovers filled 7 large baskets. As soon as Jesus had sent the people away, he got into the boat with the disciples and crossed to the territory near Dalmanutha. I've been practicing that one as well. The Pharisees came out and started an argument with Jesus. They wanted to test him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus groaned and said, why are you always looking for a sign? I can promise you that you will not be given one. Then he left them. He again got into a boat and crossed over to the other side of the lake. This is the word of God that he has given us. May it bless us.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to show you a lovely picture and I'm expecting you to go, ah, okay? Are you ready? That was our dog. Her name was Chloe. And yeah, she was a really lovely dog. But one of the things that Chloe loved to do when our two boys were very young was she discovered that if she sat at the base of the high chair, she got fed. That just with the normal exuberance of a toddler eating, there was some food that would kind of head down to the floor that she could then unobtrusively grab. It was even better because, as Mandy's just been describing, we had a cloth that we used to put on the carpet so that the food wouldn't get trodden in. So it was very easy. The dog would lay on this mat looking and waiting, and if any food happened to fall over. The trouble was that eventually the boys noticed that the dog was there, and so occasionally they would kind of help out with feeding the dog and perhaps throw some things in her direction. So she had learnt that that's what happened, okay? We'll come back to that later on. That was just to get you ready for something that's going to happen. I had a thought while we were all saying about the things that mums do. One of the things that my mum did and does, which is incredible, which is something that I could never live without, that is absolutely crucial, is that she prays for me. So if you're a mother, pray for your children. In fact, if you're a father, pray for your children. Because it's one of the most important things that we can do for our children, is to pray for them. So anyway, so we've read this passage in Mark chapter 8, and it's kind of got a bit of a deja vu to it. We've been in this place before. In chapter 6, there is a very similar account of Jesus feeding a large crowd of people. And it seems to be, one of the things that I would like to point out is that it is now, 20 to 12 on Sunday, so you're okay to stay here till about lunchtime on Wednesday. Is that okay? Yeah. Because that's what the people did. They were so enthralled with what Jesus was doing, what Jesus was saying, they were willing to sacrifice of themselves and stay and listen and soak in what Jesus was doing and what Jesus was saying. And maybe sometimes we can't even manage an hour and a half on a Sunday. So commitment was one of the things that I wanted to draw out. That these people were committed to following Jesus. For whatever reason, they were completely committed to being with Jesus. They didn't want to miss anything that Jesus was doing. And maybe sometimes we are guilty of not being bothered, of being a bit lapsedaisical about our Christian walk, about how we view Jesus and his importance in our life. But Jesus, as usual, is full of compassion. He loves the people. He looks out at these people and he says, I love these people. They've been following me for a few days. Any food that they did have has all gone. And if I send them away, what happens if they don't make it home because they collapse, because they're so hungry? I want to sort out their practical needs. But the problem was the disciples, they weren't quite as faith-filled as Jesus. In fact, I think they were a little bit slow on the uptake. You see, they'd already seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. And yet here we are again. And the disciples are like, oh no, there's no McDonald's near enough for the people to get food from. And Jesus, will you feed them? And yet they didn't get it. They didn't understand what was going on. You'd think they would know the drill by this point. You'd think they'd know that Jesus was more than capable of feeding all these people. You'd think they'd have realized by this point that this was the Son of God who was standing in their midst. They had a problem. You see, Jesus was able. They'd seen him do all sorts of things. They'd seen Jesus do miracles, even in the first few chapters of Mark's gospel. These people had been with Jesus and they knew that he was able. Maybe what they didn't realize is that he was willing. That actually it was more than just Jesus being able to do these things. He was willing to feed these people that had gathered to hear him speak. Some people have said, oh no, you know, Mark's gospel's got it wrong. Actually, there was only one instance of Jesus feeding a large crowd of people, and that was the 5,000, and actually Mark's got it wrong, and the other gospels have made assumptions about what Mark says. And it's true, Mark was written several decades after Jesus' death and resurrection. And maybe what happened is that Mark was, bear with the analogy, okay? Because I know it can't be true because photography wasn't invented by them. But I want you to imagine that Mark was going through a box of old photographs, a bit like some of these. And as he was going through them, he wasn't necessarily completely sure of which order that these photographs came in. What he could be sure of was that actually they were occurrences that people had made notes about, and they were important events. They're all me, by the way, just in case you're wondering who that handsome man was. Shh. So the challenge was not to recognize who these people were, or the names or the faces of the people in the photographs. The challenge was to kind of represent them in a good way, to find out how he could put this story together of Jesus so that he could pass that on to people who hadn't heard or hadn't been with Jesus in a good and a meaningful way. And I think probably what Mark did was he collated all this information, and he wasn't so bothered about the date order. What he was bothered about was kind of grouping things together. And that's kind of what we're going to do this morning. We're actually going to cover some of Mark 6, 7, and 8. And the theme of those three chapters, to a certain extent, is bread, which we will explain. So going back to chapter 7. Jesus encounters a woman. There's the first problem. It was a woman. Okay? It wasn't like it is now, and I'm not making it sound like that, or I'm not trying to make it sound like that. That is their culture at that time, and we are understanding the Bible by looking at it and how it was at that time. So this woman comes to talk to Jesus. But the second problem was, she was a Gentile. She was not one of Jesus' own kind. She comes and begs Jesus, "Will you heal my child?" And she probably knew, she'd probably heard the stories that Jesus had been able to heal, had been willing to cast out demons, had been willing and able to do various miracles. Perhaps she felt a bit of an outcast, that actually these Jewish people were not very nice to her. And it seems strange, Jesus' response. Maybe it doesn't really fit with what we expect. Because this woman comes up and she's pleading with Jesus. She falls at his feet and she says, "Will you heal my child?" And what does Jesus say? It's to do with bread. He says, "First of all, let the children eat, because it's not right to give their bread to dogs." That's a bit harsh. Why was Jesus so unkind to this poor woman? What was going on? The honest answer is, despite what lots of different theologians, there's all sorts of stuff written about this passage, and we could spend quite a long time going through all the different proposals as to what was going on. The short answer is, I don't know. It doesn't seem to fit with what I understand of my Jesus. It doesn't seem to be the sort of thing that he would say. And yet here we are in Mark's gospel. We don't know. But maybe he was making a point. Maybe he was trying to test this woman's faith. Maybe he was trying to prove something to the Jews that would have heard about this. But this woman was not willing to just let it go. And she said, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And maybe what Jesus was meaning was that he'd come primarily for the Jews, and that those outside of the Jewish nation would have to wait until later on. And maybe from her response, what she was saying was, like our children, they were eating their meal and our dog was eating at the same time, because she knew that if she sat there long enough, something would come over the side. And maybe this woman was the same. Well, look, I know what you're saying, that you've come for the Jews, but actually, why can't I have what they're having now? Maybe that was her response. And Jesus says, because of your faith, it will be done for you. And maybe as good evangelical Christians at that point, we go, oh, phew. We thought for a minute there it was going to be really sticky. I want to challenge you. It's still sticky. Because we don't really understand why Jesus responded in that way. Maybe, actually, Jesus is getting his own people ready for the next part of the journey. You see, Mark 6. A few loaves and two fish. That's what the story says. That the people were there and they'd listened to Jesus, and there was at least 5,000 people. Okay, so 5,000 men plus women and children, and Jesus fed them all with food left over. And it seems that Mark 8 is then a mirror image, except there's, I think it's 4,000 people in that one, plus the women and the children. What was the difference? Well, the difference was, where was Jesus in Mark 6? Anybody know? Who was he talking to? He was talking to Jews. It was predominantly the Jewish people that were there listening to Jesus. Then in Mark 7, we have this conversation between Jesus and a Gentile woman. And then in Mark 8, where was Jesus then? The Decapolis. Okay, which basically means a group of 10 towns. He was the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And who predominantly lived in that area? It wasn't the Jews. So therefore it was the Gentiles. Hey, it was the Gentiles. And Jesus had gone there and he'd done the miracle that he'd done with the Jews, with the Gentiles. These people who were the outsider, these people that apparently we thought were only going to get the crumbs, suddenly Jesus does the same miracle for them as he had done for the Jews. And perhaps that was part of Jesus' plan all the time, that actually he had met the needs of the Jews. He had seen them. He'd spoken to them. He'd shared with them. He had met their needs. And then he's preparing the way for the next stage of the operation, as he then sees the needs of the Gentiles and speaks to them and shows them his love as well. Wow, we're included. It's not just about the Jews. In fact, it's not just about us. We are a chosen people, a nation that has been called by God. And we can be a part of that because of what Jesus has done. But actually, it's open to everybody. It's open to all. The offer is there for everybody. Ephesians 2:13 says something like this. You were far from God, but Christ offered his life's blood as a sacrifice that brought you near to God. The people that he was talking to were Gentiles. They were outsiders. Maybe the Jews would have described them as dogs. But they weren't just going to get the scraps off the table. They were invited to this meal, just like everybody else. The abundance of God was given to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. He provided not just enough. Okay, how many baskets were left over in the first account of the feeding of the large crowd? 12. How many baskets were left in the second account of feeding the large crowd? Seven. At least 7. So this is a God who is abundant. This is a God who loves to give to his people more than enough to go round. So do we have a stingy God? No. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who cares about us. And he wants to give his love to us. Last week we used a prayer as part of our service. We're going to use the same prayer this morning, because I think it's important that in the light of Jesus' love for us, that while we were still a long way off, he called us. But not just us. He calls a world out there, a world that is lost, a world that is confused by terror attacks, by ISIS, by tragedies, by global warming, and so on and so forth. And we are called to be his hands and his feet to our sick world. So let's pray. Think about these words as we go through them. Your church is composed of people like me. I help make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am. Its pews will be filled if I help to fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am a generous giver. It will bring other people into its worship and fellowship if I invite and bring them. It will be a church where people grow in faith and serve you if I am open to such growth and service. Therefore, with your help, Lord, we shall dedicate ourselves to the task of being all things that you want your church to be. Amen. Ray is going to lead us in our final hymn.